another episode of In the Crease Podcast with men's lacrosse head coach John Galloway, presented by Baptist South, of course, coach, celebrating W, getting conference play started off on the right foot. Give us a quick word.
Yeah, it was more enjoyable to sit down with you, Matt, on these Tuesdays after a win. Certainly a very quality opponent, you know, to have to go on the road and to start conference play after a really tough outing here against Duke, and a team that we've played already this season, uniquely enough, and a team that we went into overtime with. I thought they got our attention in Savannah a few weeks ago, and more than anything, the guys came back humbled by what happened last Sunday here against Duke, and we're motivated throughout the week, and our leadership led the way.
Impressive performances all around. Let me start with Cap. You know, going up against one of the best face-off guys in the country, in Ashton Wood, another Jacksonville guy, and felt one-sided. It felt like, you know, Cap was the guy who's getting all the accolades and really dominated that matchup. Like, give us a word on him.
Yeah, really proud of him, first of all. I mean, I think, anytime you go against Wood, for the last 3 years, we've really had to kind of check that box for Mercer. You know, you kind of assume that the percentages are going to lean in their favor, and I thought Nathan took that personally. I think he was, again, humbled in the Duke game. He was motivated throughout the week. I thought Coach Kolpitz and him worked really hard on the counter moves and the things that we could do to find success against Wood, and didn't expect that performance. We knew that we could make it a 50-50, but I thought Nathan did everything plus some to make that an advantage Jacksonville and gave us a lot of possessions to start to get comfortable on the offensive end.
Yeah, when you say in the past you check that box for Mercer, when a team starts to see that it's tipping our way and that our guy is doing his part and winning that matchup, what's that do for the psyche of the team? I mean, we jumped out to that big lead. It had to play a role.
Yeah, I think it gives you confidence to be able to make mistakes, ironically. I think it allows you to know that you don't have to play a perfect game. And in the Duke game, because we had so few possessions, every time we got the ball, we felt like we needed to make a play. And because of the possession, you know, balance that we had in the Mercer game, both from Nathan and then obviously Jason in the goal, it gave us the confidence just to play our game offensively. And when you score 16 goals, 10 out of the 16 were assisted. I think that's just a product of unselfish lacrosse because you didn't feel like you needed to make a play every time.
Getting things started in the big way was Jack Dolan, Mr. Everything, Mr. All the Time. The guy, the name that sort of, you know, at times starts to get lost in the shuffle because you look down the box score, it's 3, 4, 5, 7 points.
Yeah.
Every day. But, you know, when he pops for 5 goals and 2 assists, like that gives you a boost. You know, just speak to his season so far and that game.
Yeah, you know, Jack is such a unique player. You know, I think he's one of those guys that's unassuming on the field. He moves so effortlessly. He's unselfish. So when you see him take advantage of bad approaches and matchup opportunities, you almost you're surprised to see it because he is so just 1/6 of the offense. And we moved him to attack before the Duke game. Again, I thought the Duke game was not a great indicator of the impact he could have down there because we didn't have the ball enough. But when he had the ball on his stick, you can see he makes plays. And, I mean, he filled up the box score in the first half. And I think it opened up things for our team in the second half. And he's a QB. You know, he's our quarterback down there. He runs the show. He calls out the offenses. And I think when we have him out there, everybody has a deep breath to be able to get on the same page. And he's leading that unit.
Sort of going chronologically through the game in my head. Evan Tyler struggled, you know, putting the ball in the back of the net the last couple of games. Shows up, gets 2 quick ones, becomes the all-time leader for goals in a career.
Yeah.
80 now. Feels like he's been around forever. So this felt like this was a long time coming. But
yeah.
Maybe speak to that accomplishment.
Yeah, you know, Evan's had a lot of on and off the field issues throughout the offseason. And I think, you know, he hit a little bit of a slump going into the last 3 games. And ironically, it was right before that ledge of being able to break the program record. And, you know, we talked the night before the game, and, you know, we just said, Evan, you know, for so long we've relied on you to be the offense. And we have a lot of pieces now. We have a lot of pieces of the puzzle, and we just need you to be a part of the offense. And I thought as soon as he realized he didn't have to bear the burden of carrying the ball the entire possession, things just started to fall his way. I thought he got 2 easy ones as a product of good offensive play. And, you know, from that, Evan's going to be able to build off of his athleticism, his ability to shoot. But I thought, you know, he needed to just get back in the rhythm of playing with the other 5 guys, and that's what happened on Saturday.
At a certain point in the game, I'm listening to the announcers, and they start to say, I wonder when Matt Stagnita's going to get involved. And then he goes back to back to back, just
yeah.
Like that, 3 in a row.
Yeah.
You know, he can come out of nowhere. And he's just yeah. So steady. you know, we've talked about him a lot on this podcast, but like having that guy who's sort of waiting in the wings and starting to remind people that, you know, we've got, like we just said, we have weapons all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think steady is the perfect word. You know, Matt's going to be the one that takes advantage of opportunities. And as we started to play better defense and cause turnovers and create transition opportunities, that's where Matt, I think, shines. And I do think Matt and Jack down there together, you have two seniors, two guys who have played a lot of lacrosse in different capacities, but you know, there's just a comfort level when you have older guys down there, and you felt once number five got going on the offensive end, other things started to click. And anytime you have some veteran presence on the attack, everybody gets to take a deep breath and just put the ball through their stick, and often that results in some pretty high quality looks on the offensive end.
At the close of that first half, we get a nice reminder that Jacob Griner is back. His first game back, he gets the quick one after the timeout.
Yep.
And then he gets two more in the second half. You know, no big deal.
Yeah.
Hanging out with a wrist injury, and then shows up with three goals.
Like, just, yeah.
What kind of boost is it to have him back?
Yeah, huge. You know, again, Jacob was our leading point scorer last year in a short break, and to have that injury happen right in the beginning of the season and have him have to fight through that, and it was hard for him, you know, to have a cast on his hand and to have to do conditioning on his own, you know, to make sure that when this moment came, he was ready to go and he was in shape. And, you know, he didn't practice for more than 2 or 3 days before that first appearance. And for him to be able to come out there to do what he did in short minutes and to have a hat trick and then to still be able to impact the game in so many different ways, you felt Jacob. So now you have four options down there. You have guys that can rotate in. You have some veteran presence with some youthful scoring. Jacob just gives us another element of IQ out there, and obviously just a shooting touch.
Yeah, I mean, just personally, I'm really happy to see him back.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of times where I run out to the press box to work on a few things just to have a quiet place, and I'd see him out there running lines by himself, wrist on, you know, cast on his wrist, busting his butt to be physically ready to come back. You know, the practices I've been at, he's always got a stick in his hand. So it was great to see, you know, like I had no doubt, at least from where I sit, that the second he stepped back on the field, he was going to be fine. There's a lot of guys who will suffer an injury like that and just settle into, all right, I'm hurt.
Yeah.
He didn't act like it, at least to me, from where I sat. So that was exciting.
No, it's amazing. I mean, he would have the drawing board on the sidelines during timeouts, helping out the other attackmen and just drawing out the offense. I mean, that's the type of kid he is. He's a 4.0 student. He just does everything right off the field. He works his butt off on the field. I think everybody, when he scored that first goal, wasn't relieved because everyone knew Jacob was going to do that. I think they were just so happy for Jacob to be able to start to have the success that he deserves.
On the defensive side, a lot of impressive performances. Jordan Young, 6 ground balls. Jason continuing to do his thing between the pipes. That unit just seems dialed in.
Yeah, Jordan, I think, had his best game here at Jacksonville, and he's had a lot of good games. And, you know, Coach Brzezinski made the point, but we have two. Jordan Young, who was a first-team All-SoCon player at close defense, Dixon Smith, who's our only first-team All-SoCon defender, and both of those guys are playing out of position right now. And I think that's just a credit to our depth defensively, their growth, their maturity of what's best for the team. And again, I thought Jordan and Dixon impacted the game in so many invisible ways. Obviously, the stat sheet showed Jordan's impact, but there's things that those two guys do in between the lines that just make us a really unique defensive unit.
You know, and now we get that result, we open some eyes. Like, that game was so hard fought up in Savannah, and now you go up to Mercer on their turf and you sort of run circles around a little bit. Now you have VMI coming in this weekend, a team that's on the rise. It's, you know, it's been a little longer coming than some, but never look past an opponent. Like, just speak to the preview of the weekend.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is recognizing who the opponent is. You know, anytime you play a military institution, you're gonna have to play for 60 minutes. And watching their film, getting to know their personnel a little bit, it's a group that's tough. I mean, they were beating High Point 7-2 this past Friday before things started to catch up on High Point's offense. But this is a team that never is going to quit, regardless of what the scoreboard says. So we're going to be in a fight. You know, it's going to be 85 degrees on Saturday. This is a team that will be well equipped for the conditioning moments of that. And it's a conference game. And ultimately, you can't get to the top of the mountain unless you win these conference games. So people get excited about Duke and UNC and Navy's of the world. Well, realistically, this VMI game is a bigger deal than those games. And we have to handle it that way. And it started at 6 a.m. this morning with our preparation. And it's got to continue throughout the week.
Where's, as we get ready to wrap things up, where's the biggest growth point then from game one to now? I mean, game one was technically against a conference opponent. You mixed in Mercer in the middle of that. You play 3 ranked opponents. Those are your only 3 losses. What's the growth point been for this group? You know, we talked a lot early on about their maturity level and the chip on the shoulder. Now you're into conference play and you start off with that sort of positive momentum. Like, what's been the growth point for these guys?
Yeah, the core of our leadership, you know, that's still developing. I think that we went into the year knowing we had a lot of seniors, you know, especially with everything, all the guys coming back, but not knowing who the leaders are, not knowing who's going to take accountability when somebody makes a mistake. And that's something that we learned after the Duke game, and we decided to assign responsibility to certain leaders. And I think that that puts them in a position where now they feel that burden. And that's been a huge growth area just in the last 7 days for us. I also think just the concept of just entitlement, you know, getting rid of that, you know, that mindset that, you know, anything is given to us. We have to show up every morning and practice the best version of ourselves. And if we don't, we're not gonna like the product at the end of the weekend. And again, sometimes we gotta be a little bit meaner. I think as coaches, we've learned with this win-loss, that we have to treat every week, regardless of the outcome of the game, the exact same. We have to have a growth mindset. We have to challenge our best players. We have to have our best players challenge the rest of the guys. And when that happens, like it did this morning, you can see that we're taking the next step as a team.
Yeah, I think, you know, that speaks a lot to, I try to listen carefully to what visiting announcers will say about us when we're on the road and I'm having to watch the game on a stream. Nowhere in my notes does it say, that I'll send to those announcers, does it say blue collar? But every single announcer from Utah to Mercer to, you know, anywhere we've been, arrives on their own and calls us a blue collar team with the way we play. I don't know if that's something you're looking for or striving for, but it sounds like a lot of what you just described.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's part of the identity. You know, we as a coaching staff on Monday after the Duke game sat down and said, what is our identity? And we have to define that because, you know, what you permit is what you promote. And I think that's what we have to look in the mirror every day when we go to practice. But it is an actionable desire to be gritty, to be blue collar. And it's something that we have to build into our practice plans and something that we have to hold people accountable for when they do come short of that standard. So it is something that we work for. And I think it's something that we need to hang our hat on because it's not always going to be pretty. And there were times where it wasn't pretty on Sunday. But can we overcome that? Because our emotional maturity allows us to, and we are tough enough, both mentally and emotionally, to be able to handle tough moments.
So, this weekend, VMI, noon, ESPN Plus. We'll have the boys on the field and looking forward to it. Coach, anything you want to hit us with on the way out?
No, again, I mean, only three home games left, hard to believe. I think, you know, when you look at the schedule and you realize that you're more than halfway through your regular season, you start to, again, be really humbled with the fact that we're still playing lacrosse. It's going to be 85 and sunny on Saturday at noon. It's our first Saturday at noon game. You know, the schedule has been so funky with the flexibility of COVID and traveling, and really proud of how guys have handled it. So it'll be nice to have a wake up Saturday morning in your own bed and get to play a lacrosse game at 12 o'clock like a lot of the rest of the country.
We're excited, Coach. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for hanging out again. And this has been In the Crease Podcast with Head Coach John Galloway, presented by Baptist Health. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Matt. Good deal.